My friends, today we continued the discussion of the subject, Modern Pretenders versus Bible Miracles. You know, it's quite a commonly accepted thing today to compare products by name and qualities on national TV and radio. The Ford Motor Company compares its automobiles with those of General Motors. And you see and hear comparative ads for deodorants such as Right Guard, Ensure, and Stay Dry, etc. But today, we're making some different comparisons. We're comparing some genuine miracles of Bible times with modern claims of miracles today. I don't want to be unkind, but I want you to hear me. And I say, are you listening? The Associated Press, Dateline, Tulsa, Oklahoma, date of February 22, 1976, reported the death of Catherine Cullman on February 21st of heart surgery complications. From December 28, 1975, when she underwent open heart surgery until her death, she was in the hospital. It is reported that special prayers were made to effect her healing, but obviously none were effective. Beloved, if miracles today were possible, why was not this woman healed? She was in the hospital almost 2 months after surgery. Was that not enough time? Why surgery in the first place? Why didn't those who were praying for her healing come to her rescue? Even after death, why not, like the Bible says, raise the dead? What claims of miraculous healings are being performed today, but when the reality appears, they seem to fade away? Would it not have been well to have come to the aid of this internationally known woman evangelist, who earned the reputation as a faith healer, and heal her of heart trouble? Now just one thing more. Jesus said, raise the dead, in the same verse in which he said, heal the sick. You will find that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Why not raise Miss Cullman, who had so many thousands of people who loved her and believed in her? That would be a miracle beyond question. If the command, heal the sick, is in order today, so then is raise the dead. Catherine Cullman was the modern woman of the day in the realm of miracles and especially healing. It is claimed that millions were healed through her ministry. The Holy Spirit has healed you, was her usual declaration, accepted by thousands without question. But may I point out to you some facts you need to know? A few months ago, Barbara Walters interviewed some well-known doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists on a national TV network. One psychologist stated, quote, my concern is the many people who will believe anything. They want to be bamboozled, end of quotation. A report by Dr. William A. Nolan, M.D., in McCall's magazine, gives enlightening information from a medical doctor's viewpoint. The information was published in a book by Dr. Nolan entitled Healing, A Doctor in Search of a Miracle, published by Random House, New York, which is an intensive and scientific investigation of the claims of miraculous healing. Dr. Nolan stated, and I quote, because of my Roman Catholic background, I was already convinced that faith played some role in healing, and so I was certain I could approach the subject with an open mind. Miss Cullman conducted on the average 125 meetings each year since 1946. Millions have claimed they were healed through her services. Dr. Nolan attended one of Miss Cullman's healing meetings for the specific purpose of investigation of faith healing. Dr. Nolan arranged to be an usher and was assigned to the wheelchair division. At one entrance, there were at least 100 people in wheelchairs, he estimated. He said, I've seen some sad sights in my life, but few that could match the one that greeted me when the doors opened and the first group arrived. Many were elderly stroke victims. Others were children, crippled from birth defects. There were several middle-aged men and women who had the pale, wasted appearance that a doctor leans on to associate with widespread cancer. Every patient I saw, except, of course, the mentally retarded, had the desperate look of having all but given up hope. Dr. Nolan had two legal secretaries with him who secured the names, addresses, and information from 82 people who were claimed to have been healed. After a few weeks, allowing for time of those healed to readjust after such emotional experiences, Dr. Nolan conducted personal interviews of those claimed to have been healed. He did not find one case where a miracle through divine healing had occurred. Let's look at two or three of the cases that Dr. Nolan followed up and reported. Case number one. Mrs. Helen Sullivan, 50 years of age, had cancer of the stomach, liver, and vertebrae of her back. Catherine Coleman told Miss Sullivan to remove her back brace and run back and forth across the stage several times. She did so. She was pronounced healed. A great miracle in the eyes of the large audience was performed. It was 2 months after the miracle when Dr. Nolan talked with Miss Sullivan about her healing experience. She was then confined to her bed. Mrs. Sullivan said, I quote, "I was sure I was cured." But she continued, "The next morning I woke up with a horrible pain in my back. The doctor put me in the hospital and gave some x-rays that showed one of my vertebrae had collapsed. He said it was probably from the bending and running I had done. I stayed in the hospital in traction for a week. When I went home, I was back in my brace. Since then, I've gotten a lot weaker. I can't make it upstairs anymore. That's why we have got the bed down here." End of quotation. Mrs. Sullivan died of cancer 4 months after she had been cured at Catherine Coleman's miracle service of divine healing. Another case of supposed miraculous healing by Miss Coleman, investigated by Dr. Nolan, that of a young lady who was a polio victim. The young woman came on the stage, waving her leg brace and standing, with her pelvis tilted badly, on one good leg and one short, withered leg, Dr. Nolan reported. Miss Coleman asked, "How long have you worn this brace?" 13 years, since I had polio at 7. "And now you're cured, and you don't need it anymore. You've taken it off." "Yes," she said. "I believe in the Lord. I've prayed, and He's curing me." Dr. Nolan reported that everyone applauded and the girl cried. He said, "This scene to my mind was utterly revolting. The girl's leg was just as withered as it had been 10 minutes earlier. Now she stood in front of 10,000 people, giving praise to the Lord and indirectly to Catherine Coleman, for a cure that had not occurred and was not going to occur. I could imagine how she would feel when the hysteria of the moment had left her, and she again had to put on the brace that she had worn for 13 years and would wear the rest of her life." End of quotation. Another case Dr. Nolan investigated was that of a 67-year-old man with a cancer of prostate, who left his wheelchair shouting that he'd been healed of incurable cancer. Dr. Nolan discovered that after the cure, the supposed healing at Catherine Coleman's healing service, the man visited his doctor again. He still had cancer and continued with the doctor's prescribed medication. Of course, that failure, nor any of all the other failures, were revealed to the thousands attending the so-called healing services, nor to the television audiences. Ladies and gentlemen, time does not permit reference to all the cases investigated by Dr. Nolan, but remember, the doctor did not find one case of actual miraculous healing. He concluded, and I quote, "I'm inclined to rest my case on the axiom often used by the defense lawyer in malpractice cases, when a sponge has been found in the patient's abdomen after an operation, the thing speaks for itself." Now, beloved, let's consider some Bible examples, real, genuine miracles. In Matthew 12, 10 through 13, it is recorded that there was a man which had a hand withered. After discussing the matter, Jesus commanded, "Stretch forth thine hand." and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Beloved, genuine miracles were not halfway done. The disease or disability was instantly and completely cured. How unlike the case of the young lady with the withered leg because of polio, investigated by Dr. Nolan. Jesus performed a miracle. The man's withered hand was completely, the Bible says, restored whole like as the other hand. Of the unfortunate polio victim, the doctor declared that the girl's leg was just as withered after the miracle cure as before, and that she could expect to wear the brace the rest of her life. What a contrast! A genuine miraculous healing versus hysterical emotional experience mistaken for a miracle. Friends, some years ago, a Mrs. Bondisher saw Oral Roberts with his healing performances on TV. That was when Mr. Roberts was traveling about the country healing thousands of people of all kinds of diseases, incurable diseases, terminal diseases, it was claimed. And incidentally, that was before Mr. Roberts became college president. The TV programs were taped, that is, video recorded for presentation on TV at a later date. Mrs. Bondisher was flown to Cincinnati to attend Roberts' healing campaign service. On her way back home in Burbank, California, she told relatives in Evansville, Indiana, that Mr. Roberts healed her by laying on of hands and prayer. But, beloved, listen to this. Are you listening? Only a short time later, just 12 hours after her miracle cure of cancer was featured on Mr. Roberts' taped television show, the woman died of her cured disease, cancer. Mrs. Bondisher's physician at Pasadena Tumor Institute listed the cause of death as cancer. How ironic and how sad. The very day the woman was being presented on the TV as being healed of cancer, she died of cancer. Now let's take some Bible comparisons. We will find examples of genuine miraculous healing of diseases. In Matthew 8:14-17, it is revealed, "And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick." Peter's mother-in-law didn't have to sweat out her fever. She was healed instantly. No prolonged prayer healing service. No report like, "The Lord is healing her. She is much better today, and by tomorrow or next week or next month, she will be completely healed." No, my friends. In 1950, Oral Roberts was conducting a Healing Waters revival in Amarillo, Texas. The large tent seated hundreds of people who came to marvel at the miracles. Then, a West Texas windstorm came along and dried up the Healing Waters campaign. The tent was blown down and many people were hurt and treated at hospitals. An AP News release of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram said, and I quote, 50 hurt when storm fails revival tent. A revival tent collapsed in a hailstorm here Sunday night, injuring at least 50 persons. At a late hour, there were no reports of any dead or seriously injured among the nearly 7,000 people in the audience of the Oral Roberts Faith Healing Service. Witnesses said a gust of wind got under the tent during the heavy rainstorm, lifted the $22,000 tent and aluminum poles, and then dropped them on the crowd. More than half of the congregation was buried in shattered canvas. Most of those treated at local hospitals suffered cuts, bruises, and a few injured had broken bones. All available ambulances, doctors, and nurses were rushed to the scene. Mr. Roberts, who claims to have gotten God to heal thousands, was not able to work even little miracles. The wind did not obey his voice. He couldn't even heal the broken arms and cracked ribs. He couldn't even heal a little broken finger. Why, he couldn't even heal anything, my friends. Why were the injured rushed to the hospitals? Why were the injured treated at the local hospitals? Why were all available ambulances, doctors, and nurses rushed to the Healing Waters tent? Mr. Roberts was performing before the audience of some 7,000 people, claiming great miracles. This would have been a most opportune time to really prove himself. he could have been making many believers by just performing a little miracle by healing the cracked ribs and broken bones. But my friends, this was the real thing. No fake about the broken limbs. That medium-sized Texas norther put him out of the healing business right on the spot, and he pulled out of Amarillo, Texas, and left the doctors and nurses to heal the injured in the hospitals. My friends, let's look to the Bible for contrast. Jesus had such miraculous power that the wind and the waves and the sea obeyed his will. In Mark 4:35-41, we have record of the great storm that ceased because of the voice of the Son of God. The Bible says that he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, there were no broken bones, and no need to have doctors and nurses rush to the scene. The miracle performed by Jesus was real. What a contrast to the result of the storm that destroyed Mr. Roberts' tent and the injured who were treated at the local hospitals, some with broken bones, and where all available ambulances and doctors and nurses were rushed to the scene. Occasionally, there are those to be found who believe so strongly in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to operate today in the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead, to attempt the raising of the dead themselves. On January 1, 1971, a group of misguided Christians met at a funeral home in San Diego, California, to raise a person from the dead. Previous to the dead-raising attempt, this group of deceived Christians engaged in a midnight mass, tongue-speaking, Holy Spirit-filled service. Johnny Luca reported, and I quote, "Brother Ben Franklin asked the audience to come down the altar and pray with him. The entire audience, except some doubting Thomases, crawled up and down the altar on their hands and knees, begging God to fill them with the outpouring of his presence. The singing was mournful one minute and ecstatic the next. The prophesying was fervent, and both sexes were given to visions and messages direct from God. There was a hush over the audience when the messages began to be spoken. Each began with, 'The Lord is upon me,' and closed with, 'Thus saith the Lord.' The testifying was tremendous. Several cases of sinus trouble were healed during the assembly. One lady said the Lord had even raised her from the dead, stopped her from cussing, and had caused her back trouble to disappear. One speaker told of 18 people who had been raised from the dead by a group of new converts in Indonesia. The next day, after being challenged to raise a friend from the dead, a group met at the funeral home to raise the man from the dead. The funeral director was surprised, perhaps the understatement of the time. 'While the body was being prepared, we were all assembled in the chapel to hold hands and pray for the dead man to rise. They prayed for us only to believe. We prayed for them to believe the scriptures and not go beyond that which was written. The air was filled with tongues. The woman began to pray like crazy. The director told us the body was ready and that we could go in if we desired. We assembled in the room where the dead man was. The air was filled with expectancy. The young man who had made the request to pray with his hands on the dead man asked the unbelievers to leave the room and pray outside the door. I didn't leave, although I was an unbeliever. Again, the holding of hands, the tongues, and the prayers began. The young man placed his hand on the head of the dead man and said, 'In the name of Jesus, arise and walk.' I felt the casket move. I had one eye open all the time, but when I felt the casket move, I looked closer. It was only the young man pressing the casket with his body. After fervent tongues, strong cries, and so on, they gave up." My friends, what a tragedy. How could Christians become so deluded? False teachers with false doctrines will deceive your souls. During the days of miracles in New Testament times, the sick actually were healed and the dead were literally raised. In John chapter 11, we have the record of the sickness and death of Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead 4 days, as you read in verses 14 and 17. Jesus loved Nazareth, as you read in verse 36. After words of consolation and giving glory to God, Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says, He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. Verses 43 and 44. O my friends, what a comparison! The miraculous power of God, Christ of the Holy Spirit, never, never failed. Men and women who claim such powers today always fail.